There's a great deal of talk in this hour about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit are marvelous because they are extensions of the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, then you can expect to be involved with the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing are what God does through us. Prayer lines, anointing with oil, laying hands on, praying, calling people out, the various things that you had no doubt have seen through the years. The gifts of healing are what God does through us. But anything that is channeled through us is subject to error and misuse. But then there is the gift of faith, which I referred to briefly last night. The gift of faith is what God does without us. And anything that God does without us is flawless. But in order to have the gift of faith, you must also possess relinquishment to the presence of God when God comes in. I'm working with something in our movement across this country and out of the country. We are worshipers, and we worship like no one else on the face of the earth because we know whom we worship. What is his name?
Jesus.
The air trembles when you shout the name of Jesus. Devils back away. Incredible, amazing. But I've noticed, have you ever noticed, even here, I'm sure, there'll be worship, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will just flood the place, and it will just sort of explode. I've been in services where the power of God swept in, and all kinds of things begin to happen. But they ignored that, and they insisted on presenting their miserable schedule. Those stupid announcements, all of this stuff. When I pastored, the announcements were pasted on the bulletin board as you entered the church. I never made announcements from the pulpit. There's more important things to do. That's how I pastored. I ran a tight ship. Because our only reason to be here is to get connected with Jesus. People, when Jesus walks in, the best thing you can do is to scrap your notes and scrap your program. Because you're not going to upstage him. You're not going to compete with him. The Holy Ghost will do more in seconds than we could do in hours of preaching and threatening and pounding. Clap your hands, all ye people, and just shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What comes through us is limited, but what God does is unlimited. And I want to get connected with God. That's the only reason to be here. And the gift of faith is upon you people. The gift of faith, absolutely, is the greatest thing of all. Brother T.W. Barnes, a prophet of God, I had friends at one time that always would corner me when I was preaching at big conferences, and they would get out there in the audience and they would cup their hands and they'd say, demonstrate, demonstrate. What they wanted me to do was stop preaching and call people out and read their mail and that type of thing. And they were always doing this. Well, I'm trying to preach a message, and there's somebody over here saying, demonstrate, demonstrate. It was distracting. So I called Brother T.W. Barnes one day after a big meeting like that. And I said, Brother Barnes, is this the thing I should be fasting and praying for? He said, no, no, boy, don't you do it. He said, because they have a gift. And he said, they will come and do three or four night services, and they've got to go on down the road because that's all they have is a gift. He said, and what they're doing is good. He said, but God is calling you to mass evangelism. He said, you will do more with the gift of faith and laying on of hands than they will ever do calling people out. Don't you do that. He said, you'll do just enough of it until the faith will rise among the people and the gift of faith will take over and all kinds of things will happen. So I did exactly what he said to do. And I want the gift of faith to be upon you people in this area like never before, because that will help you to break the entire area. And it has to channel through you. It has to come through you. And if you believe that, receive it right now. However you want to receive it, you can shout, you can thank God for it, you can stand, you can lift your hand. But the Holy Ghost is calling you to a higher level of operation, because you're going to have to make it happen. You people can make this thing happen. You can make it happen. Clap your hands. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pushoto rovarico te kasha taya varaka. Handala varaka shataya varaka takaya shataya. Last year, I had a preacher walk up to me one night at the end of a service. We'd had a great move of God, and he was sincere. He said, Brother Stone King, when did you get a hold of all of this? When did all this begin to happen for you? I said, what do you mean? He said, when did all of these miracles begin to happen? All these people began to get healed in your ministry. He said, when did it happen? I said, I've always had it. Because it is written, these signs shall follow them that believe. I am a believer. For example, I got the Holy Ghost October 6, 1963. It was amazing. You wouldn't believe it now, I suppose, but I really am an introvert made extrovert by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm basically a shy person. There are still things I don't really like to do. I do it because I'm expected to do it, but I don't enjoy it. But I give Academy Award performance, and nobody knows that I don't like it. It's part of my personality. So I had a difficult time getting the Holy Ghost because I majored in English and I've always worked with enunciation, pronunciation, all of that business. And so when I get to praying and I begin to lose control of what I was saying, I would feel strange because it wasn't me. Was not supposed to be you, for one thing. And I would, I'd begin to lose control of what I was saying, and I would stop and swallow, lick my lips, and I just swallowed the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was right there. But one night, I got so stupid tired, I didn't care what it sounded like, and God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I spoke with tongues for over an hour and a half. And in the Evangelical Free Church in those days, I was voted the best-dressed man in the church. So when I came to this basement of the parsonage in Apostolic Christianity, it was totally different than the stained glass windows and things I had been accustomed to. So I wore my best to this basement because I didn't want to offend God, and he wouldn't give me the Holy Ghost. So the night I got the Holy Ghost, I had snow-white trousers on, a dark brown jacket, and all the rest of it. And I was lying flat on my back on the floor, on that cement floor in the basement, in between the pews, speaking with tongues. When I opened my eyes and started speaking with tongues, I looked up and Brother Butcher was looking down at me, and I said, Brother Butcher, I've got it. He said, I'm afraid you do, boy. And so from that time on, I've always had it. Well, I had prayed so hard to get the Holy Ghost and had such a difficult time that when I finally got the Holy Ghost, the next morning, I called the office where I worked. It was Rock Island Motor Transit Company.
And I said, I'm not coming in today. They said, are you sick? I said, no. They said, what's wrong? I said, you would never understand. I said, but I'll be there tomorrow. In other words, I had prayed so hard to get the Holy Ghost that when I finally got it, I declared a national holiday for myself, and I stayed home from work, and I got paid for it. I mean, I sat in the corner, listened to Merle Ewing sing and Vesta Mangan sing and spoke with tongues all day long. Well, but the thing is, that Monday morning, I had a small home. I was buying a home in Highland Park in Des Moines, Iowa. And I was going to Drake University at night, and I was studying commercial art, and I was doing all these things. But anyhow, the landlord that I was buying it from, they lived right around the corner from this house that I was buying. And we were great friends. We went to the Evangelical Free Church together. We ate together, been in their home. They've been in mine, whatever. And I wanted them to know that I had got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They knew I was coming to visit you people. They weren't very happy about that, but I just kept coming, you know? And so I called, and her name was Ethel, and they were an older couple, lovely people. But I called her, she answered the phone, I said, Ethel, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost last night. I spoke with tongue. She said, you got what? I said, look. She said, I am so sick. She said, Lee, I am so sick. I cannot get my head off the pillow. I'm in excruciating pain. I've got a headache like I've never had before. I said, Ethel, I'm coming over. I mean, you know how it is. When you first get the Holy Ghost, you're swinging from the rafters, the chandeliers. You don't care what people think. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. And so I just ran over there. And I went. And we didn't lock the doors in those days. You didn't have to. Now you have to lock everything, even clean yourself. I mean, you can't trust anything or anybody. But it was free back there. So I rented the house, and I knew where the bedroom was. I went back, and here she was, that gray hair, silver hair, lying on that pillow. And she just looked awful. I said, Ethel. She said, look. She said, I am so sick. I said, Ethel, listen. I have become a believer. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost last night. I spoke with tongues. I said, it is written in the Bible that believers, these signs shall follow them that believe. I can anoint you with oil in Jesus' name, and God will heal you. I said, have you got any oil in the house? Well, look, people, when they are desperate, they don't care what you do as long as it works. And that world out there is desperate. So don't you apologize for the way you look, the way you act, the way you worship. They're desperate out there. They want to know if you've got what you really say you've got. And if you do, they want it. So live it, because they're watching you. It's something. I said, Ethel, have you got any oil in the house? She said, I think there's Mazola oil in the kitchen. Well, he didn't say what kind of oil. Quaker State, Penn State, whatever. It's just oil. So I ran to the kitchen, and I'm nervous. It's my first anointing, you know. And I've never done this before. And so I found this big bottle of Mazola oil. And I opened it, and I was nervous, and I spilled it. I was anointed for the job. I had oil all over my hands. I ran back there, and I put my hands on her head, and I said, I command this headache to be gone in Jesus' name. That's all I said. I'll never forget it. She opened her eyes. She stared, and she grabbed her head. She said, it's gone. It's gone. People, it's supposed to be gone. When you lay a hands on in Jesus' name as a believer, something is supposed to happen. And it does happen. If you believe that, clap your hands again and shout to the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, let's get into some things that are extremely interesting. Notice the Bible says the man with the withered hand, that it was restored. To restore something means to make it as it once was. If you find an old piece, an old antique piece of furniture, and you buy it, then it's pretty scraped up. But if you restore it, you make it as it once was. The Bible says that Jesus restored this withered hand, that means the hand had not always been withered. God is not limited by time as you and I are limited by time. He isn't. So to restore it, all Jesus did was to reach back in time and brought the past to the present. And he was healed. If the doctor tells you it's going to take you 6 months to come out of this, it'll take about a year for you to be restored and be healed. But Jesus can reach into the future and pull the future back to now, and you are healed. God is not limited by time. He can restore. He can bring the past to the present. He can bring the future to the present. Absorb that for a moment, because there are people here tonight that are being healed and will continue to be healed just in the course of this service. If that excites you, let your voice out for just a moment in time. Just a moment in time. Jesus. God has revealed some things to me in the last few years that to me are absolutely astounding. One of the things that God has shown me, that people are healed in services where I am just by being in the presence of the Lord. I didn't call them out. I didn't anoint them. I didn't touch them. But just because they're in the presence of God, they suddenly become healed. People, that is amazing. If you understand what I'm saying, then you'll get an idea of why I say church is the most exciting thing that you do all week long. This is the greatest thing that you get involved with all week long. Because when you come here tonight, someone's going to be healed. Someone's going to get the Holy Ghost. Someone is going to see an angel. Someone is going to hear a message in tongues, an interpretation, a prophecy. This is the most exciting thing that you do all week long. I feel like clapping. I feel like jumping up and down. I feel like worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This Jesus is in this house, alive among us tonight. I'm going to tell you a few things I don't tell just everywhere. And it's not because I am who I am. It's because he is who he is. And I believe him. In some places, when it's announced I'm going to be coming there to do a conference or whatever, people begin to get healed before I ever enter the city. Because faith begins to rise. People get the Holy Ghost sometime before I ever arrive. It's amazing. It's amazing what we have hold of. That's why I don't care how dark it is, the light is brighter. I don't care how bad it gets, the light is going to get brighter. As the darkness gets darker, the light will get brighter. People, if I can do these things, if God will use me like this, he will use you people like this. He uses your pastor already. Your pastor has a hold of the gift of faith. I've had a hold of the gift of faith for years and years and years. I have worked with mass evangelists. I've seen thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost. Thousands of people have been healed of all manner of disease. But it's not me. It's the Jesus that I allow to flow through me. Well, these signs shall follow them that believe. If you are a believer, you've got the credential. If you are a believer, you have the credential to be used by God. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. What is his name? Jesus is the name. In the name of Jesus, all of these things will begin to happen. Jesus, we worship you here. We praise you, Jesus, right now, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you for it. Hato karisha lavaraka shataya hantar lavaraka. Let me give you a real quick rundown of where I am in all of this. 15 years ago, I fell dead of a massive heart attack in Sydney, Australia. I was clinically dead 45 minutes. There was no heartbeat. There was no breath. They did resuscitation. They did CPR. They shocked my heart 10 times. My heart would beat 2 or 3 times and stop. There was no hope for me at all. A year later, I talked to Nigel West, who was the paramedic that came to the airport and picked me up off the floor. I said to him, I said, Nigel, what happened when you shook my heart? He said, Reverend, it would beat 2 or 3 times and stop. Nothing we did worked. He said, you were just DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. So I was just a corpse, put on a stretcher, put in the ambulance in Sydney, Australia, and I was being driven, my body was being driven to the local hospital. But after medical science had done everything at their disposal and all that they knew to do, and nothing worked, Jesus stepped on board that ambulance, and my heart began to beat on its own, and the breath came back. It startled the driver. It startled the paramedic because they'd never seen anything like it. So you're looking at a miracle. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. But I am. Because of a man called Jesus, who can do anything, everything, all things. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Jesus, I worship you. I've prayed all my life to be used by God. But I want to give you a simple warning. When you pray to be used by God, be very careful, because you may end up feeling you have been used. But that's exactly what you prayed for. When I prayed to be used by God, I never saw myself lying naked from the waist up on an airport floor with a crowd gaping down at me, people doing resuscitation, CPR, and all of this. That's not exactly what I had in mind when I said, God, I want to be used by you. But when the answer comes, rarely does it ever look like what you had pictured in the theater of your mind's eye, because it comes with his qualifications, his specifications, and his needs. So if God wants me dead, that's exactly what he gets. So after that, they put in 5 stents in my heart as preventative medicine. The heart attack was caused by a genetic thing, that one of the veins on the right side of the heart narrowed. There was just enough plaque that it caused a massive heart attack. I said to the doctor, you mean this caused a massive heart attack? He said, oh, yes. Well, then they found 4 narrow places on the left side of the heart. So Dr. Weiner said, a couple months later, said, I'm going to put stents in all of those narrow places as preventative medicine so that you won't have to fall dead again. Well, I want to tell you something, because I've been through it. I know what I'm talking about. Those stents are only good for 5 years. I don't care what they tell you. They don't last more than 5 years. Well, what happened is the stents, scar tissue formed around those stents and blocked all of those arteries. So 10 years later, I got the feeling really badly. And I called the doctor and said, something is wrong. Something is really wrong with me. He said, you need to come in. I went in. There was one little artery on my heart, just one little artery that was working. The others were all blocked. He said, you're going to have open heart surgery. I went through 5.5 hours open heart surgery. I got through that. Then, a couple years later, had to have another stent because the walls of one of the, they cut a vein out of your leg and cut it in 4 or 5 pieces, and they put it over the bypass, over the arteries, and so you have veins. But veins are built to carry blood, not to pump it. Arteries pump blood, so veins are weaker than arteries. So one of the walls of one of the veins, the bypass veins, came together and blocked it, so I had to have another stent. I got through that. And then, a few years later, I had to have a pacemaker defibrillator. So I have that now. I got through that, and then I had to have a heart ablation, which is a whole story you don't want to hear about. So I said to Dr. Weiner, I said, "Dr. Weiner, it would appear to me that you have fixed everything that can be fixed." What I'm saying is this. I have learned so many things because of what I've been through. I can tell you in operating rooms, on operating room tables, nurses have broke down crying hearing my story. Doctors have been amazed because they said to me at one point, I was watching, I was awake when they did it. He said, "Reverend, this doesn't happen. This can't happen, but it happened for me because there's a God who hears and answers prayer." One of those nurses came to a meeting where I was and began to speak with tongues and worship God. People, if it had not been for what I've been through, those people out there do not know that there's a people like us who know Jesus the way we do, and that Jesus is this powerful. To the people out there, he's a dead figure on a crucifix. I want to tell you, the crucifix is empty. He's not dead hanging on a cross. He's alive. The cross is empty. He's alive inside of your heart, inside of my heart. And that's why we shout, and that's why we dance, and that's why we worship the way we do. So go ahead and just go at it for a moment. Jesus, I worship you. People, this feels wonderful right here, right now. Something wonderful is taking place right now. Jesus, we worship you. We clap our hands to you, Jesus. We dance before you. We jump before you. We shout before you because you are God. You are alive. Oh. Amazing. So I think it was in 2004, the organization asked me at General Conference if I would preach Night of Miracles at a General Conference. And I said, yes, I will do that. So I went. And there were about, I suppose, I don't know, 15,000 people in that General Conference, I don't remember. But it was a large conference. So in that conference, at the end, when I finished, I worked and spoke the word of faith. There were, I think, 58 notable miracles that happened right before people's eyes on that main floor at that general conference. There was one man, a preacher, who had a cancer the size of a golf ball on his neck. He was dying. The gift of faith was in that place. Right on the main floor of the General Conference, that tumor disappeared while people watched it disappear. The hole closed over and the skin was just smooth. The people began to shout and to dance and to worship God. And I went out to see him. They brought me to him and he grabbed me and lifted me off the floor. He was so excited and shouting and worshiping God. There were 50-some notable miracles, but I found out later because they couldn't get me to tell me because they were coming and writing these things down. It was amazing. There were over 200 notable miracles that took place in that general conference because of a story about a man who had been raised from the dead. People, Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. This Jesus is the resurrection and the power. I don't care what doctors tell you. Jesus is the resurrection and the power.
Hato korisha la varaka shataya handara varaka. People have asked me, well, Brother Stone King, when you were dead, did you see anything? I said, no, no, no. God knows me too well. If I had seen heaven and Jesus and angels, there's no way I'd have come back here. Forget this place. I would have stayed over there, but I didn't see it. But I've seen enough, and I have felt enough that I'm going to truck through this until I get there. I want to see Jesus. I want to walk in that city. I want to be with the saints that have gone on. I want to worship with God around the throne. Hato karisha la varaka shataya. Handa la varaka shataya. Hallelujah, Jesus. At the general conference there in Louisville, Kentucky, there was a preacher that he brought from a local pastor. He brought, I don't know how many people from his church that were chronically ill just to that meeting, and I couldn't get to him, and he couldn't get to me. There was a sea of people, but he contacted me by phone later. He said, Brother Stone King, every individual that I brought to that service that night, they were all miraculously healed by the power of God. They are all healed to this very day. I was at the Louisiana camp meeting one year. There was a man, they told me, that was there who was a diabetic. He was taking 2 shots of insulin every day. I prayed for him. Others were praying too, but I had laid hands on him and prayed for him. It was absolutely amazing. God healed that man of sugar diabetes. He went out after church and ate a whole cake, not a piece of cake. He ate the whole cake with no repercussions at all. People, if you're healed, you're healed. If Jesus did it, it's done. That's all there is to it. I'm telling you, the healer's in the house here tonight. The healer is in the house here tonight. Toto korisha tafaraka shataya. Hantala varashataya varaka. I was doing a women's conference for the Tinneys in Tioga, Louisiana. It was about 7,000 women that came to that particular women's conference. And the Tinneys wanted me to preach faith to this conference, and so I did. It was really something. I mean, it was amazing. Well, there were all kinds of things happened, but then I preached, and there was a balcony full of people and women up there, and a few husbands had come, and it was just an incredible move of God. Well, a couple of months later, I was in that area again, not in that local area, but it was in that general area. And the pastor brings me up to the church that I'm preaching in, that conference, that meeting. And he pulls in, and they open the door for me, and I get up and stand up. And when I stand up, there is some woman from the parking lot yelling, screaming, Brother Stone King, Brother Stone King. Well, I stopped, and I waited, and she ran toward me. And I can still see her. She had on the highest of high heels. Ladies, I don't know how you run in those things. I don't understand that. But she was running in these high heels. It was amazing. That's a bit of a miracle in itself, I think. But anyway, she walked up to me and she went, Brother Stone King, look! That means nothing to me. I don't know what that means. I said, what? She said, Brother Stone King, in that women's conference, I was in the balcony. The doctors had removed a kneecap in my leg. I would never be able to bend it or walk again like this. She said, but God, while you were preaching, replaced the kneecap. She said, God worked a miracle for me. People, that's the kind of Jesus I serve. That's the only kind of Jesus I serve. That's the only kind of Jesus I will serve. So now, this means something, and I can rejoice over it. In Brother Hendrick's church in Madisonville, Kentucky, I've seen a lot of things, but this was notable to me. There was a Jewish boy that had gotten the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, and he convinced his mother to come to one of the services where I was preaching, and she came, and she was in a wheelchair. She had had the bones all removed in the legs in the knee area, both legs. And she would not be able to stand again. She was not going to be able to ever walk again. She was confined to that wheelchair, and she was seated over here. Well, what was interesting about it
was faith was so high among the people, and the gift of faith was in that house. The women in that congregation came and joined, made a circle around this woman in the wheelchair and began to pray for her. They just prayed and prayed and prayed. And she didn't move. So I was watching other things and helping and ministering here and there. But all of a sudden, I was still in the pulpit, I looked over, and that woman, on her own, she took her hands to the arms of that wheelchair and she pulled herself up and stood, which she's not supposed to be able to do. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's who you people are here. That's what you've got a hold of. That's who you are. A believer with power with God. Power to demonstrate. Power to declare. The power of Jesus. And then she began to walk, which she's not supposed to be able to do. The bones had been removed in the knees. She walked over here. She turned around and she walked back. Well, at this point, her boy was just sobbing and crying and speaking with tongues. People were worshiping God. It was amazing. That night after service, she walked across the parking lot, downstairs into a basement gymnasium area where they had fellowship for all the staff and a little smorgasbord they had there, cafe, a buffet type thing. And she walked over. I watched her. She walked to our table. She walked to all the tables and testified to every table of guests were there what God had done for her. It was amazing. Those things are upon you. Those things are coming to you here. This area needs the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. And I know that God has called you at this hour, this moment in time, to absolutely demonstrate His power to this generation, to this area, to this district, to this whole constituency. It's upon you. You have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh. So the service was over. It was absolutely wonderful. A week later, she went back to the doctor's office that had done the surgery on her knees and removed the bones. She walked in. He said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Walking." He said, "How?" She said, "Well, I went to this Pentecostal church, and she said, they prayed for me, and she said, God has healed me. I've had a miracle." And she got the Holy Ghost that night in the wheelchair after she walked, too, by the way. Baptized in Jesus' name. But the doctor said, "I want to see." He took a set of x-rays. He came back in about 15 minutes. He said, "I'm going to ask you a question. Who did this bone replacement surgery in your knees?" She said, "I didn't have any bone replacement surgery." He said, "Yes, you did. Every piece of bone that was replaced I took out is snow white on the x-ray." She said, "Well, I didn't have surgery." He said, "Yes, you did. And whoever the surgeon was, he was a master surgeon." Why don't you give this master surgeon a round of applause because of what he has done and what he's going to continue to do for you as a people. Oh, Otako Shataya, Varaka Shataya, Kondokorova Raka Shataya. I feel that something is being born here in the Spirit among you that will never die. Something powerful on you as a people right now. Reach over and take the hand of the person next to you and let what is on you flow to them and vice versa. Because there's something being imparted right now from the Holy Ghost.
God, that you will enlarge their understanding, that you will enlarge, oh God, their comprehension, that you will enlarge, oh God, to them who they really are. Believers, believers with power to demonstrate, power to demonstrate. Open, open, open the door of understanding.
When saints begin to sing in the Spirit, it is a signal to you that God has placed his hand of approval upon you as a people. In biblical times, they sang in the Spirit. When I used to pastor years ago, our people sang in the Spirit. It sounded like angels singing. Children would be seated on the front pew and never move for 40, 50 minutes because the Spirit of God was so real and so alive. The hand of God is upon you, people. And his approval is upon this ministry here. And you will never be the same. So make it happen. Pray. Lay hands on people. If nothing happens, keep on praying. Keep on laying hands on people. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. Healed of what? Healed of anything, everything, all things. There's a power in laying on of hands. Hands are for healing in the Bible. So one more time, do it in the name of Jesus. Just take someone's hand, lay hands on someone, and let your voice out. You may want to sing again in the Spirit. You might want to speak with tongues. But you people are a blessed people. You are the people of God. You are the lighthouse for this entire area. You are a blessed people because your pastor is an apostle to this area. He is an apostle. And he is doing something in this area that's never been done before. And you are honored by God to support him and to lift up his arms and to help him keep going. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I don't know where all God will take you, but I think you're already involved in some of the greatest things you've ever seen in this area because you people are ready for it and you want it. You obviously want it, and it's upon you. It is upon you. Again, I just want to thank you, people, for loving Jesus the way you do. And I want to publicly thank Jonathan Shatwell for all he has done to help me in the ministry. Because with what I've been through, it's difficult with my energy sometimes. And he has been there to support and to do things. Jonathan is a tremendous armor bearer. Jesus sent them out by twos. That's too biblical for us. But that's what he did, because there is safety in twos. There's safety in that. So I am safe when I have someone there along beside. And he's on the same page I'm in. Jonathan is very prophetic. He first came to my home when he was 17 years of age. I've known him since he was born. In fact, the story, long story short, is his mother and father were evangelizing. I met them in Because of the Times many, many years ago, over 30 years ago now it's been. And Brother Anthony Mangan had a prayer line, and he had all these young preachers coming through. So I was one of the preachers praying for the young preachers going through. And there were a lot of young men that walked between these two lines of preachers, laying hands on and praying for these young men. But there was this one man that walked through. I didn't know who he was. But when I laid hands on him, I felt something in God. So I knew that God was dealing with him and he would be someone outstanding. So at the end of the prayer chain, or prayer line, praying, I walked up to him and I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but I want to talk with you. Well, it was Jonathan Shatwell's father. I didn't know that. David Shatwell. I said, I want to talk to you. Well, it scared him to death. He didn't want to talk with me. He stayed as far away from me as he could possibly stay. And I couldn't get to talk to him. But one day, the power of God fell on the platform. And all the preachers got gathered around like a football huddle praying for this person. And David Shatwell made the mistake of coming out of the audience. And he got up on this huddle. He was on the outside. I thought, I've got him. He can't get away now. So I walked over, put my arm around his shoulder. I said, David, I knew his name by this time. I said, David, come with me. He had no choice. So we walked off, and I went into Gerald Mangan's office, which I had access to, and closed the door and locked it. And I said, that's what I did. And I said, David, I feel this and this and this about you. He was never, ever the same after that. He and Dorinda, we call her Doe for short, they were evangelizing. And a couple years later, something like that, they decided to settle down and pastor in Okemah, Oklahoma. So after about a year of that, I don't remember now, but David called me and said, Brother Strunke, would you come and preach a weekend revival for us? I said, yes, I will. So I went, and I stayed in their home and fasted and prayed, and we had a great move of God. Well, through all the years they had been married, Doe had never become pregnant. While I was in their home fasting and praying, she conceived. So I always said to David, I'm much more powerful than you thought. And 9 months later, a son was born, and they named him Jonathan David Shatwell. So I've known Jonathan from the time he was born. And David and Doe feel like I had some miraculous part in bringing him into existence. He's the only child. And Jonathan has called me Papa Lee from the time he was able to talk. So I've always treated him like a grandson. I've always treated him like my own kid. And he came to my home. And I was amazed because at 17 years of age, he had hold of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. I couldn't believe it. He was only 17 years old. And I know that if you're a prophet, those three gifts are connected to the office of a prophet. All prophets have those three gifts operating in their ministry and life. So I knew then if Jesus tarried that Jonathan would be a prophet in the fivefold ministry. And he's very prophetic and he's gifted. So I am thankful that I have that kind of support. Do you understand? So young people, keep doing what you're doing. And I'm glad that I have someone that can travel with me that's on the same page. My close friends don't want me traveling alone. They say, Brother Strunke, you don't need to be traveling alone. And so I don't. I have someone that is there to help. And it's amazing. It's just amazing how God has got all these things worked out together. So find somebody. Like when you go out to do Bible studies and things, go by twos. It's a safe situation. It's safe. There are so many strange things going on among people in these days. You don't know. You can't tell by looking at someone what they are, who they are. You really can't. And sometimes I'm shocked when I find out. But apart from that, we're at the end. The greatest things are happening right now. Because before the coming of the Lord, the latter rain is seven times greater than the early rain and the former rain. So before the coming of the Lord, everything you read about in the book of Acts will be reenacted. Everything you read about in the book of Acts will be reproduced before the coming of the Lord. But it'll be seven times greater than anything you read about in the book of Acts. So we are not headed for some great falling away. That's a bunch of nonsense. They had 100% falling away in the Garden of Eden. You can't get more than that. We're not headed for a falling away. We're headed for the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. And you are the generation. We are the generation spearheading that and preaching it. So one more time, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph.